This is CliffCentral.com.
It's time for us to get Selejo in here. Let's speak to him about what's happening in the world of finance. And he's in for Anthea this morning, Selejo Tsatsi, who's our guy to get to when it comes to understanding what's going on in the world. We're going to talk about Sasol, Aspen, Impala, a bunch of interesting things. How are you, my man?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Good. Are there some interesting and positive stories going on in the economy at the moment? Because these guys are complaining about how last week they were trying to put a show together and all there was bad news. Must be some rays of hope, some silver linings.
Look, I hear that if you're working at a platinum company, your bonus this year might be pretty sizable. So
oh, halala.
there are definitely some parts of the economy doing very well.
Well, let's start with Impala Platinum then, because that is an interesting story. So first of all, their results came out. How are they doing?
Very well. So this is driven by the platinum basket. So that's the basket of platinum metals that are doing very well in price terms. Mm-hmm. They went from burning about 2 billion rand in cash in 2018 to generating just under 8 billion this year.
Wow. Talk about a turnaround.
Yeah, huge turnaround.
Is that just because the price has gone up?
Mostly, that's the majority of it. They also mined more, so they grew volumes by about 12%. Cool. But the big driver is really the pricing.
And we are still one of the biggest platinum producers in the world, right?
Yes.
So this is good for us.
Great for South Africa.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So in earnings per share terms, they went from nearly 2 rand in losses in 2018 to over 4 rand in. Obviously, these are payouts, earnings, dividends, all the rest of it. That's terrific.
Yes, and that 4 rand actually understates what the real profit number is because there's a few non-cash expenses in there.
Wow. All right, let's talk about some of the others quickly because Sasol has delayed the release of their results. Why have they done this?
It really stems from this mega project in the U.S. called Lake Charles. The estimate for the cost of the project went from $8.9 billion in 2014 to just under $13 billion is now the estimate. So the cost estimate is up about 50% in 5 years in dollar terms. Wow. And then obviously the rand has weakened over that time and the schedule has been overrun. So they've launched an independent review into what's caused this. And their reasoning for this delay essentially stems to that they want to get this review done. But obviously investors, given the fact that the share price is down 50% over the last year, the project's been really poorly managed, there's just a lot of uncertainty and I think fatigue from investors.
All right. Are they going to be able to deliver these results soon? Have they given us a date? Do they have any news, any updates?
Yeah, so they have said they're going to be delivered before the 31st of October. So
that's a long time.
Yeah, initially it was supposed to be the 19th of August. So it's a delay of just over a month and a half. But they have said they'll give it a definite date before then, but until then the timeline we have is just before the 31st of October.
Now, we know how skittish investors are. How do they respond to delays like this?
Never well. So the share was down 4% on Friday.
Sure.
But I think at this point, I mean, it's down over 53% over 12 months.
Ow.
So the people that are still holders of the share, I think at this point you're saying to yourself, well, let's just wait for results and see from there.
Aspen has been in the news a little bit lately. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it's kind of similar to Sasol in that for both of those companies, investors are really worried about the amount of debt that they have. So as we said, Sasol's halved in the last year. Aspen is down by 2/3 in the last year. They had a trading statement last week, and investors actually responded very positively to this. The share was up about 8%, at one stage 13% on the day.
Sure.
And it was really due to the fact that they decreased the amount of debt that they had. So they've taken their net debt down from 53.5 billion rand in December to just under 40 billion as of June of this year.
All right. First Rand,
that's seen as the high quality safe pick in terms of South African banking. It's the biggest company by market cap in the country and the continent. And that's because people expect First Rand to deliver high ROEs, just a quality pick. And I think it essentially did what it should do on the tin. It kind of performed in line with those expectations. So the ROE was about 23%. They had very strong revenue growth. Their costs cost growth was a bit of a surprise, but they're reinvesting into the business. So I think it was a decent set of results, essentially in line with what expectations are. It is more expensive than peers, having said all of that.
So tell me how it works with people who invest with FirstRand, because this is obviously the one that, I mean, in all the banks, this is the one that performs the best at the moment in terms of that return on investment. Why do you think that is? Is it because they've been so innovative, because they've got customer acquisition strategies? Is it because they manage their costs well? What kinds of things are the indicators here that position them in so much more a favorable way than the other big banks?
I think it's two things. So in banking, your management team is super important.
Yeah.
And they've had and have a very good management team. And then secondly, it's their mix of assets.
Mm.
So because in banking, because you're so leveraged, you know, you might have, for every 20 rand of assets you have, you only have 1 rand of equity.
Right.
Meaning you have so much debt, any big mistakes can kill you. And so it's really about the quality of the management team that differentiates.
So their people in risk there are probably very smart, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, wow. Well, there we go. What other company news before we go overseas?
So it's been a very busy very busy week. We also had Fashini reporting just the trading statements. So they had sales numbers out. They actually grew in South Africa, which was a surprise.
That is a surprise.
Versus, I mean, we saw Mr. Price a few weeks ago saying that essentially sales didn't grow.
Yeah.
But we continue to see that in South Africa, it's difficult economically.
So the consumer's under pressure.
The consumer's still under pressure. Aside from the resources sector, which has done very well, and even that's starting to roll over a little bit, locally, I think things are still pretty difficult.
All right, let's go overseas now, because Apple are launching a new iPhone on Tuesday. What do we know about this?
Yes, so we're expecting upgrades for the higher-end phones, essentially. But I think what for me is going to be most interesting is actually what they announce around TV Plus.
Well, just before we get into that, like, Apple's almost reached a saturation point, right? And this is their biggest concern, is that they've run out of markets for their goods, and their markets, the markets that do want their goods are now, they can't get in because the prices are so high.
Yes, and people are holding onto their phones longer.
Right.
I have an iPhone, I think it's a 6. I've had it for a few years, and it still works. It gets the
job
done.
But you're smarter than us. But there are no more updates and upgrades available for those phones.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
That's the problem.
It's prehistoric.
Like, yes, you find like some of your apps just don't work anymore.
It hasn't got. I don't think it's gotten to that stage yet, but I'm sure that's coming. That's probably very close around the corner.
All right, but essentially they've got to keep on bringing out something new, because the market they're talking to are these people who just get the newest, latest thing. And
exactly.
They're in this ecosystem where they need all that stuff, right?
Yes, and for investors, the concern has been that the iPhone is about 2/3 of sales. And as we've just said, that's slowing down. People are keeping these phones longer. So what they're actually trying to do is shift it towards services. So things like Apple Music, iCloud, that's high margin stuff. It's higher margin than hardware, number one.
Sure,
and
of course.
It's more regularly recurring. So it's
okay. What are we expecting, though? Because I'm always excited when they say they're going to bring something out, and then I'm always disappointed when I hear what it is. Because they never invent something that's going to, you know, suddenly
mind-blowing.
Charge itself from the air or something.
Yes. In terms of...
if they did that, then I'd be really impressed. Wouldn't you?
That's some great innovation.
I mean, let's give
Tim... on your desk and never runs out of power. That would be something.
Let's give Tim Cook a chance. Maybe he's going to announce exactly that. Well. In terms of specs, I'm not sure what they're going to come out with.
Uh-huh.
But I think you touch on a very... you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of people are... There's less innovation in the space, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose that's we just got to deal with that.
Yeah.
Get over the fact that we're not going to get all the brand new amazing things that we read about in science fiction novels. All right, so Apple TV Plus you mentioned. What's this all about?
So this is Apple's streaming service. There's quite a bit of skepticism in terms of whether they'll be able to... Whether they'll want to, rather.
Because they're going head-to-head with Netflix.
Exactly.
And, right.
And Netflix is spending, I think, this year, $13 to $15 billion on content. That's a massive number. Apple generates $60 billion a year, but whether or not they'll want to spend a quarter of that on streaming...
They've got to spend this money because they're sitting on a huge cash pile at the moment.
Exactly.
So what else are they going to spend it on? They're giving Oprah a whole heap of it. They're giving Steven Spielberg a heap of it. Jennifer Aniston.
And even after giving all of those people heaps of cash, that only comes to about $1 billion. $1 or $2 billion. Some people have said that Apple should have bought...
Oprah can talk a lot of inspiring shit for $1 billion.
Well, a couple of hundred million. Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how seriously they pursue this streaming avenue. Because if you're going to be serious about it, you really have to spend... heavily.
Sure. So we'll just have to wait and see then.
Yes.
So it's on Tuesday, the big launch, tomorrow.
Yes.
All right, how about Facebook? What's the update on them?
So last week they launched Facebook Dating in the US, which builds on essentially the core Facebook app.
Mm-hmm.
And what's
interesting... Is this another app?
So my understanding is it's offered within Facebook. So it's within the Facebook app. It's not available in South Africa yet, so I think you would need a VPN if you were to use it in South Africa.
Okay.
The reason why this is interesting is, one, the parent company of Tinder, which is Match Group, was down about 5 or 6% on the day that they announced this.
Oh, yeah.
Because investors are obviously worried that Facebook, with its scale and its 2 billion
they
users...
They could just trample all over Tinder.
Exactly, as they've done to Snap, Snapchat. The other interesting thing is Tinder monetizes mostly through these payments that their premium subscribers make on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook's unlikely to do that. They probably want to just get more information about you that they can use to serve better ads.
They'll serve ads into this dating mechanism, and then you'll be out there trying to get a booty call on Saturday night, and you'll be
bombarded by Samsung ads.
Yeah, and condom ads and ads for baby food and whatever else isn't related to what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, and so the virtuous circle goes.
Yeah, but this is the world that Mark Zuckerberg wants to own. So he wants to get into your relationships. He wants to get into your finances. We know how his big scheme for world domination is proceeding, and we're all playing a part in it.
Exactly. I think he's kind of going after a similar model to Tencent's WeChat app.
I think he's going after a similar model to, like, President Xi of China. That's what he's doing.
Well, he's doing it in a very methodical way.
And it's so obvious that he's doing it, and we're all just going along with it.
In fairness, on Friday, I think it was the FTC announced another, or there were reports around another investigation to be launched into
Facebook and Google.
But
all right, Selejo. Anything else you want to throw in?
That's about it for this week.
That's a full plate for this week. All right, man. Always good to see you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Selejo Tsatsi, who's here for the money shot this morning, and in for Anthea. Anthea gets very nervous when you come and stand in for her, because we've told her we like you as much, if not more. So she gets very upset with us when we say
This is CliffCentral.com.